Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan, The Fan Sports Network. That's 1080 AM, YouTube, the Odyssey app. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Loaded little show. Ja Morant is a Portland Trailblazer.
Come on down, Ja. Wonder if he's listening right now.
It is a
mail sack
Tuesday, brought to you by Sparta TRT. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour of the radio program. We'll talk with Gary Parrish of Memphis radio fame at 7:27. Get his thoughts on Ja Morant and what we can expect from Ja Morant. He's been in the headlines the last few years for not good reasons. But is there some people that believe a change of scenery could end up being a good thing? I also, in getting to all the Ja Morant stuff today, because we talked a lot about that in the first hour of the radio program, I also love the idea, and we do this a lot, it's not that it can't help or that it won't help or that it's not going to be a thing, but I do love when we get questionable to problematic athlete paired with really well-respected athlete. And it's the instant, well, he's going to mentor him. We did that with Scoot and Dame twice.
Yeah.
And then last year, Scoot was asked why he changed the way that he was playing. And they're like, did somebody advise you? Did they tell you to do that? And he goes, no, I just did it. Like, but I thought you were being mentored.
Took him under your wing. That's how this works,
so,
right?
So I did love the initial, like, there's nothing better for Ja than Dame Lillard. And I'm like, I hope that's true. I really do. But
I also,
these guys also roll in their own circles. They don't, they're not all best friends who hang out all the time.
Yeah, in the offseason, you got your own trainers, you got your own personal coaches, you got your own bubbles that you live in.
And not at all.
I would take it the other direction, too, because I've seen a lot of people now connect this to the Jailblazers, which I just laugh at as somebody who lived through the Jailblazer era and remembers how problematic that roster is. Just because you've taken on a player with questionable character does not mean that the entire Jailblazer era is back. Is there anybody else on the Blazers that are questioning their character? Is there anybody else who's gotten in trouble off the floor? Is there anybody else that we're looking at saying he's a bad member of the Portland society? Like, that was the entire Jailblazer team, man. So to make that analogy, just because we've made one move, I also just chuckled that yesterday. It went from Dame's going to mentor him, he'll be fine, or here come the Jailblazers 2.0. Tom saw the documentary and wanted to go get questionable characters.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that part of it. I more want to talk about the roster building, the trade itself. And the trade itself, it broke yesterday afternoon, was a pretty big shocker, I think, to anybody and everybody. I mean, to people covering the team, to people that just root for the team and follow it, there wasn't a single person I heard or saw that was, like, expecting in any way that to happen. If you would have told me yesterday at 9:59 that at around 2 o'clock or whenever it broke, the Blazers were going to get Ja Morant, I would have laughed at you. Yeah, I honestly would have. I'm like, what?
Why would they do that?
If that's all you said. The trade was Jeremy Grant, Chris Murray for Ja Morant and $1 million. We went Dr. Evil on him.
$1 million.
We wanted Ja Morant and $1 million, and we got it. So as it looks now, there's 11 players on the roster. Goodbye, Chris Murray. Goodbye, Jeremy Grant, an all-time off-the-court Blazer, Jeremy Grant.
So the vibes were great. The play was not.
He was okay. He was actually fine last year. But the year before, not so great. But the contract was tough. They've been trying to shop it for 2 years. They finally got it off. The Grizzlies have been actively shopping Ja Morant for 2 years. Nobody's wanted that contract. Everybody in the league demanded trade stuff back with Ja Morant. Nobody was going to get that. We had a bad contract. They had a malcontent. We made a switch. And now Ja Morant is a Blazer. And you still today, as we sit at 7:04 a.m., have four guards. You've got Dame Lillard, Ja Morant, Jrue Holiday, and Scoot Henderson. We can dive into a lot with the roster, and we will. Some of the reporting coming out since.
Yep.
But your initial thoughts and reaction as we kick off hour two, Ja Morant being a Blazer.
I mean, where do you even begin, right? Woke up head sewn to the carpet level surprise when that goes down in the middle of the afternoon. Of all the things that we were looking for, expecting, waiting for an announcement on, a trade for Ja Morant was near the bottom of the list in the NBA. A couple of things that are standing out to me now that we've had time to marinate, and that is before I get to just the trade reaction, one of the most interesting things about this for me, and I'll go back to something that was reported last week as well, is their view of Damian Lillard and how he fits going forward. Because remember last week we were playing a Shams soundbite about the Blazers' interest in Jaylen Brown and wanting to go get him, and that the Blazers were going big game hunting. One of the players that he said the Blazers inquired about and were interested in getting was LaMelo Ball. And in the moment, we all said, what? LaMelo Ball?
That's a really good bring back.
That
You're
was
right.
brought up on ESPN last week. And then we all had the same takeaway of, why would you need another point guard? And then they go get what? Their first trade of the offseason is what? It is a point guard. And so one of my bigger takeaways, and we'll get into the trade and the job, all of that, is just the interesting notion of...
That's a good callback by you. But Ball is 6'8". That's why I think it's different in my mind,
They're totally different in terms of their size and their skill.
Right.
But I am viewing this as like, I think they want Dame off. They want another guy running the offense. They want another guy with the ball in their hands. And they envision Dame maybe in the back end of his career more as a shooter. That's a side subplot that I just have been kind of noodling on for the last day or so since I found out about the trade. On the trade itself, here's the difficult part of it. If you view it just in a vacuum, in the smallest lens possible.
Grant Murray, Morant, trade, grade.
Incredible trade.
Yeah.
It's an incredible trade. Nobody wants Jeremy Grant. He's not very good anymore. Chris Murray's unplayable, and he can't make a shot in an NBA game.
I don't
game.
Know if Chris Murray's in the league in 2 years.
Dude. I don't know either.
I don't know if he is.
Ja Morant was a former All-Star. The last
All
3
NBA.
Years have been tough, but you gave up nothing to go get him.
Yeah.
This reminds me of some of the conversations we were having about the roll of the dice on an Anthony Davis, and I was on board with those rolls of the dice, because what was it going to be? Shaden, who couldn't even play in the playoffs and was out of the rotation, and Jeremy Grant. It's like, oh, dude, I'll roll the dice on Anthony Davis if you get something good. If you view it in a vacuum, and if you would have just randomly thrown at me, I don't know, a month ago, the NBA playoffs are going on, but we've been eliminated, and we haven't started talking about Jaylen Brown, we don't know how the Giannis stuff's going to play out, and you just say to me, hey, Dirt, if Memphis called and said, we'll give you Ja Morant for Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray, I'd laugh at you and say, yes, I would do that trade. Are you kidding me? I'd do that trade in a heartbeat. Why not roll the dice on it?
Without knowing anything else?
Without knowing anything else. I'd say, yeah, dude, that's a great trade. I want Jeremy Grant gone. I don't want Chris Murray here. Ja Morant, whatever. Take the upside move. And then you zoom out to the larger lens of what does the roster look like? Why do we have so many point guards? Is there another big move on the horizon, or is that your big move of the offseason, and now the rest of the stuff you're going to do is roster filler? I mean, that changes things a little bit for me, because I do question the fit. I do question the defense. I do question if another guard's going to get moved and what the lingering moves are. But it makes it hard to judge and gauge the trade until we see what the final picture looks like. In a vacuum, I love it. In a bigger picture sense, I'm asking a million questions of how is this all going to come together.
Sorry, my ESPN auto plays.
So you get a video playing? Is it at least a cool
highlight? It's got multiple videos playing right now. Ariana Grande singing right now, and I don't even know where the video is.
I mean, Ariana Grande.
I hate the internet.
Doesn't
tell you that right
spoil
now.
My Tuesday.
Yeah, I can't do this anymore. I'm sorry. I had stuff up I was going to read. I hate everything.
Is Drew Holiday moved? Is Scoot Henderson moved? Is Shane Sharp moved?
You can chime in, by the way. Like, your thoughts on the Ja Morant thing and how it fits and where the roster is, 503-864-6326. Chime in. I'd love to hear all the thoughts today. You can put them in the YouTube chat, as well as the Ja Morant era in Memphis is officially over. We knew it was going to be once they traded Bane, and then they Jaren Jackson Jr. and Dylan Brooks is gone. That brief little window of run that was fun, and then it wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
Very quick, and now it's over. The reporting on this is interesting. So let's start with Shams, okay? Because Shams had the bomb. He sent it out. Ja Morant is a Blazer. He did multiple hits. Here was the second hit Shams did on the Blazers. And what was the player we talked a lot about yesterday?
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown. Here's Shams Charania.
This was their big move as of right now. My understanding is they're not involved with Jaylen Brown. They made attempts with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Obviously didn't land him. Right. But this is a Blazers team. They've got young players like some of the ones I just mentioned, Scoot Henderson, Denny Avdia, Donovan Klingon. They've got a ton of draft picks. They've got some of Milwaukee's picks and swaps as well. If they want to go get a landmark star, if they wanted to go get a Jaylen Brown, they would have the necessary package to do so. So Joe Cronin, the general manager, has built a talented team with a ton of assets where they have flexibility moving forward.
So they have a ton of assets still. They didn't, to your point, they didn't give up anything that we're like, oh, no, they gave it all.
It was just a salary filler of Grant, but you have that in other players like Drew Holiday.
I think it's fascinating how he even worded that. This dude is on live television reading word for word what a text of an agent or general manager is saying. It's very odd. But it's odd wording, is it not? This is their all-in, they view this as their all-in move. And in the same breath, kind of tell you they're out on Jaylen Brown, but at the end say maybe they jump back into Jaylen Brown. That tells me that dude doesn't actually know.
Right.
He's kind of guessing based on the intel he has. And he's as plugged into the league as anybody can be.
But nobody saw this one coming, so how plugged in can you be?
Yeah, not a single person saw Ja Morant coming. I am of the opinion that they are going to make another move because it doesn't make any sense. However, and this is where you can choose to believe it or not believe it. Jason Quick reported yesterday, and he'll be on our show tomorrow, by the way, in the 8 a.m. hour. So we're excited to have Quick back on. It's been a while. He had a brief blurb on The Athletic where he said the Blazers are still shopping, but do internally believe four guards can coexist. That Scoot, Drew, Dame, and Ja Morant can be a thing. It also sounds like they're not actively shopping Drew. I don't know if that's going to hold up, but they're not, because I think the defensive versatility of Drew, of all the guards, is what you would value the most. The dude can guard the three, the two, or the one.
Yes.
And right now, Dame can't do that. Josh sure as hell can't do that. And we know Scoot can't do that. No. So,
although I think Scoot has taken steps defensively. That's fine. Yes, he's not to the level of a Drew
He's
Holiday.
Not Drew Holiday.
No.
So I think that, I mean, that's kind of limiting to what? Scoot. That's how I read that. So right now you have a four-guard problem, but also they may not view it as a problem. And it's funny because a lot of people assume there's going to be another move, raising my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Also be very Portland in our past with Neil and Joe to go in and not be stunned that this kind of ends up being it outside of what they do with the mid-level.
Right.
And maybe with the mid-level they end up getting the wing that we covet. I don't know who that is.
If they take a guard with the mid-level, I'm going to lose my mind.
Well, it's just fascinating, right? Like,
right.
You saw Minnesota go LaMelo.
Yeah.
That's their answer to Wemby. They are not, according to the reporting, Donovan Clingan is not available in any way. With the four guards, they're definitely not trading Donovan Clingan. You need a 7-2 guy down low. People made the joke. It's almost like we watched Jalen Brunson beat Wemby, and we're like, yes. We can't beat Wemby at Wemby's
Let's
game.
Let's go get a small guard. We can't find a 7-4 alien.
Let's have three shot creators and four guys who can handle the rock. That's the way to do this. Like,
right.
I don't think that's actually going to be the pivot, but also I am mentally preparing myself to be open-minded and say they're going to use the mid-level on a big, and this is it. So I don't know where it sits today. The trade in a vacuum, to your point, is a win.
Yes, it's not
the worst trade in Blazer history.
You get rid of two things that nobody wanted for a player who maybe turns back into an all-star. If he doesn't, you gave up nothing to try and get him.
But as a roster-building trade, it's an incomplete as of today because we're not sure where they're going with the roster.
Yeah, it's really interesting because in the guard conversation, too, and if there isn't another big move, I love that we're running with this. Well, they think they can play with four. You know what we're forgetting? There's another one.
Yeah.
They have five.
But he's not a four-point guard problem.
I get it, but I also think, so some of the other takeaways I had yesterday, because I do think the Lillard thing is one of the more interesting storylines here. Like, if you're going after LaMelo types and Ja Morant types, that tells me that you want Dame somewhat off of the ball.
But he had to be off ball with Denny. There's no other way that was
going to
happen.
But now he's off ball because Ja Morant's not an off-the-ball player.
Not in any way.
In any way.
No.
He can't shoot to save his life, a basketball that is. And so that's like he has to have the ball in his hands.
Yes.
And so I think they're hoping that Dame can be, like, you know, you can toss him the rock if you need a bucket in a late second, you know, end of the game situation. But I think they're viewing him as an off-the-ball type of player.
Ja Morant, this is the last 5 years Ja Morant cleaning the glass. 96 percentile in usage rate, 98 percentile in usage rate, 88 percentile in usage rate, 92 percentile in usage rate, 96 this past season. He only ended up playing 20 games, but he was in the 96 percentile of usage rate. He is a dominant on-ball player, which, I didn't mean to interrupt you,
no,
is going
to
be interesting with, what was Denny's usage rate? It
incredibly
was 99
high.
To 100 usage rate.
He was everything.
He was he had to have the ball.
Offensively for you.
Dame Lillard, when he was here the first time, high usage rate. Ja Morant, high usage rate.
It's a lot of usage rates.
It's not that you can't coexist. It's more like we're talking about three players who have largely made their bones being the high usage rate guy, ball in hand, keep it, go, operate it.
Right.
And so it's going to be fascinating to see how do you build from here and how does this work? There are elements that I've already thought about that I do like, but right now there are elements I don't like about it. As you look at the whole roster.
Well, and then I'll go a step further, too, because I think the Lillard stuff is interesting to me. I also think, now again, scrap this if he ends up getting traded today or at any point this offseason. But I don't know what the future plan is for Scoot. I don't know what their long-term view of him is. They can offer him an extension this offseason. I can't imagine they're super aggressive in trying to do that right now, but time will tell. He certainly had some nice moments in the back half of the year, and it was an incomplete picture for him because he was banged up for the majority of the season. I also think this tells me a little bit, and I would agree with their assessment, that they view him going forward not as the player that they drafted. I don't think they view him as a guy who's going to be an attacking point guard setting everybody else up. I think they like his ability more as an off-the-ball guard, and he became a bit of a spot-up shooter for him. He had some nice moments. The three-point percentage was okay in the back half of the year, the playoff game. If you go back and watch that, a lot of that stuff was like Denny driving and kicking it to him, mm-hmm. and he's catching and shooting, and I think they view him slightly different than maybe they did when they drafted him. To the question of four guards fitting, like, again, I love that we're doing four, not five, because Shaden's in the picture too. Now, you could maybe play him at the three, but then it's a whole Norm Powell thing.
Right.
This is the interesting part of it. Like, I'm not that against it for the reasons that we're talking about. If Dame can prove that he can play off ball and be effective in that, we've never really seen it before, so that's a massive roll of the dice. But if he can adjust to it, I'm okay with having multiple attackers and guys that can create their own shot. Like, we're going to focus a lot on the defensive impact of a Dame in Ja backcourt, which is horrible. Whoa. I grant you that.
It's going to be worse than Dame and CJ.
Yes. What did we all yell about, though, last year? Look how great our defense is. Look how great our defense is. Our defense wasn't that good. And what killed us late in games? You didn't have anybody who could go get a bucket. You had no outside of Denny Avdia.
Yeah.
Who were you going to offensively to go get you a bucket?
Yep.
And the defensive strategy against Portland was what? Just trap Denny Avdia, throw a couple of bodies at him, and they're going to find a way to get a stop. We were below 500 in one or two possession games late in the fourth quarter. And so now I have the ability to mix and match. Hey, we're up by five with 3 minutes to go. I need Drew Holiday in the game because he's a good defender. Or, hey, we're down by seven with 5 minutes to go. We need to attack. We need to go. I got three different guys I can throw at you and come at you in waves. The other part of it, and this is like the biggest negative of Ja outside of the off-the-court stuff, is that he's just not been available. He's played 79 games in 3 years.
Well, dude, the most he's ever played in a season is his rookie year. It was 67.
So, again, in a vacuum, I'm okay with the trade, but also on the other side of that, there is a part of me that's like, yeah, dude, let's hold on to Scoot for one more year in case he plays 12 games this year, because we could sit here and say you got four point guards right now, and then Ja Morant gets hurt in November, and he's out for the rest of the season, and you're like, damn it, why did we trade Scoot Henderson?
So the trade for you then, like, if I was to say, and we don't know where this, it's 7:18 a.m., dude. They might make a trade in 10 minutes, could be in 2 days. I don't know. The trade for you then, to follow this up, is to not break up the four guards that we're talking about. It's to put Shaden and picks
on the block
to go fill
for
the
we need
Jaylen
shooters.
Brown, Trey Murphy.
We need shooters.
We do.
Somebody they can make a shot.
Would you trade Shaden and three picks? I don't know if that actually. I don't.
Shaden and three is too much for Trey Murphy.
No, well, because somebody sent us one, and I think it was Scoot and Shaden for Murphy and Sadiq Bey. So it'd be a shooter and you know, obviously Trey Murphy.
I'd be okay with that. If you're going to get something a level in return, I'd be okay with it. But if you tell me on this, that's the difficult part. We just don't know what's available.
I think the tough part here is you need shooters. Like, we joke about it, we play the drop, but like, in all honesty.
You desperately need it.
And you didn't get it.
No.
You got somebody that can't shoot threes. In fact, his game is an inverse. He is a 42% of his shots are at the rim. Another 20% are at the mid, or maybe 30 is what I think I read. And then the rest is 3 points.
Yep.
And last year he shot 24% from three, and I'm rounding up.
That's so bad.
On 4.3 attempts.
That's a lot of attempts.
He is an attack the basket guy. We know his high level athleticism.
Yes.
But as people have noted around the league, that's fallen. So, like, it's an obvious buy low, high upside return trade that you're hoping for. But there's obviously going to be so many questions with this of, first, his health. 79 in three seasons is so bad.
Yes, it
is. He's never played 70 in a season.
Now, some of that, let's also be honest, some of that is not his health. Some of that was suspensions from the NBA.
Absolutely.
Like, it wasn't every game that he was injured. He had a couple of suspensions in
there. Look, what's the best ability?
That is totally fair.
Availability.
Totally fair.
And the other part of him is the off-the-court thing, which is why you get people talking about the off-the-court stuff. And I hope that he's matured, and I hope that he, you know, sees this as a kind of another opportunity. Whether it works out in Portland in 4 years, I don't know, but it could be the jump to the next contract at the spot where, he talks about being immature in his 20s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open-minded to that. It's the shooting. It's the health. And if you don't have it, what am I to make of it? Now, the basketball side, I hear what you're saying about Scoot. I don't know if Scoot's going to if he's destined to stay a Blazer.
No, we don't know what the future holds.
Dude, that's such a bad defensive backcourt. they have flipped from we need to get bigger and have wings, the CJ Dame thing can't work, to now lacking in wings and having four guards. I don't know if it's the Wimby pivot. I don't know what other moves they have in store.
Yeah.
It's a massive reverse back to what the Olshea era was. Who worked for Neil Olshea? Joe Cronin.
Yes, he did.
You're kind of leaning in on that until we see you get a wing.
No doubt about it.
So I don't know how that works. I will say, here's a positive. You want a positive?
Give me a positive.
I, if healthy, love the idea of the staggering of Denny and guys, and then when Denny's off, Ja and guys.
You got guys who can attack at all times.
That is exciting to me, especially if you do what Nori does, play up-tempo,
go, basketball.
We know they'll do that with Denny.
Right.
If Ja gets out there and he's healthy, dude, let the athleticism go, finish lobs, lob it to other guys. Like, the idea of staggering the two, I really like, because I think they can operate in similar ways with different groups. But there's still a lot to be determined on how you fill out the rest of the situation.
It's really hard to have a full and complete thought on it. You know why? The picture is not complete yet. We don't know what else they're going to go do. But all the concerns you listed, absolutely valid. And if they don't do anything to address those things, and you got five guards on the roster to open the season next year, by all means, I'm right there with you saying, what are we doing? But I also don't want to yell something on June 30th, and then in 7 hours, they make a trade for another wing, and they go get Trey Murphy for, you know, Shaden in a first-round pick or whatever the deal might end up being, and say, okay, now you got a shooter and a little more length, so now it makes a little bit more sense.
Let's take a pause from our thoughts. Let's Ja Morant getting a restart in Portland. Gary Parrish, our good friend over in Memphis, been covering him for years. What does he make of Portland getting Ja Morant, the Morant era being over in Memphis? Gary Parrish joins us next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Went a little long there, but Ja Morant being a Blazer was shocking to everybody's system here. So I thought, you know what? We're stunned. It's probably sad over in Memphis because there was a window there where they were kind of the talk of the league as the up-and-coming young fun Grizzlies.
He was the guy, man.
So I reached out to our great friend Gary Parrish, CBS Sports, longtime radio host over in Memphis, Grind City Media, on Twitter, at Gary Parrish CBS. Gary, good morning. Thanks for hopping on, man. We always appreciate we can get you. Just how do you sum up the Ja Morant era coming to a close yesterday for everybody in Memphis?
Well, I think you stated it properly. It's sad. It's a sad day here. I think it's a day that the city, the fan base, is well prepared for. We've known that this day was coming for a while. Not necessarily that he would be shipped to Portland, but that they were pretty intent on moving him out of here. And so you're exactly right. There was a time where the Ja Morant Grizzlies were the talk of the league. People rarely remember this, but it was back-to-back years when ESPN had future NBA power rankings. In other words, over the next 5 years, what franchises are set up best to flourish in this league? And in back-to-back years, it was not the Oklahoma City, it was not the San Antonio Spurs, the New York Knicks. It was the Memphis Grizzlies, in part, or at least, primarily because of a core of Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Desmond Bane, all of whom were 23 or younger. And they won a playoff series in 2022, and that's when everything looked like everything you could imagine was in front of them, and they never won another playoff series again. Desmond Bane was moved, Jaren was moved, and yesterday was the culmination of a total reset with the franchise. And I understand it. I think most Grizzlies fans do, but I would be lying to you if I told you everybody here was happy today. They're not. It's mostly sad.
Yeah, that's a pretty reasonable response, too, because of how much you meant and the hope that you had for the future. We've had eras like that in Portland where you see a trio of players and you think, man, this trio is going to do special things. Brandon Roy, LaMarcus Aldridge, Greg Oden, and it doesn't quite work out that way, and you have to reassess. How should Portland feel about the player they're getting on the floor and the player they're getting off the floor?
Hopeful. I mean, I think that's all you can do with a 26-year-old who's clearly had his ups and downs. You know, don't ever get it twisted. There is a reason why the franchise that once tried to make him the face and centerpiece of everything ultimately decided we can't do this anymore. It's time to move on. And so if you're trying to figure out why you were able to get a two-time All-Star still, you know, below the age of 27 for such a small price, it's because his reputation has been damaged, mostly his own fault. And so, he's an incredible player when he plays and when he's focused, but he rarely plays, at least in recent years. And even when he does play, he has not always been the most focused. Only 79 games over the past three regular seasons. I heard that in your update. That's a thing I think every Grizzlies fan has memorized. but I understand that, you know, there is – I don't rule out him catching stardom again. But the injuries, there's some data points that suggest it's taken a toll. And obviously the off-the-court stuff has been problematic, perhaps overblown in some cases. I am, you know, at least understanding to the idea from some Grizzlies fans when they say – this is a league that has men who have, you know, undeniably beat up women and have faced lesser, you know, punishments than John Morant has faced for, you ready for this, never actually being charged with a crime. Mm-hmm. But he did do a lot of things that put himself and the franchise in some not-so-great situations. He had an incident with a high school basketball player that got a lot of attention, an alleged incident with a mall employee. You know, his best friend, literally his best friend, was banned from FedEx Forum for a year because of an incident after a game with the Indiana Pacers. Like, do you know what it must take for a small market franchise to suspend the best friend of the franchise player? Right. So this is what's been going on here now. And so I can't speak for everybody, but here's what I hope. This is a guy who is still to this day, you ask both of my young sons who their favorite basketball player in the world is, and it's going to start with John Morant. They understand everything that's happened. Yeah. Their dad works in the same building. They understand the story, but he is still their favorite player. And what they're hoping, and I think everybody's hoping, is that this can be a nice reset for him too, and that he learns from whatever mistakes he might have made, and that Portland gets the absolute best version of him, because the best version of him is like, man, it's a lot of fun. I don't think there's really many things or possibly anything like it in the NBA.
Gary Parrish, our guest here, CBS Sports, also the host of the Gary Parrish Show on Grind City Media on Twitter, at Gary Parrish CBS. Joining us, John Morant is a Blazer. I do want to ask you basketball stuff, but I do want to ask a follow-up to what you just said there. The off-the-court stuff is obviously part of the storyline, right? When you come out here, we once had a team that was very talked about years and years ago, and so people don't want Ja bringing it over. Do you have any intel or indication that maybe the people around him, his circle has changed, or that there's, you said hopeful is how you would kind of summarize it. Are there indications that make you feel that maybe just immaturity or not handling the spotlight the right way, whatever it was in Memphis, that is starting to show a glimmer of change for fans out here expecting and hoping for the best from Ja Morant?
I could lie to you, but I don't think we've seen anything. Behind the scenes is behind the scenes stuff, but I think if there was any reasonable chance of seeing it up close and hoping that there's been signs of change, perhaps yesterday never happens. Listen, I don't think he's a bad guy, and I do believe he's got a good heart. I often compare him to not a basketball player, but like a childhood star. A movie star. Like, think about this for a second, because I think this would be hard for most of us to deal with. And it's not an excuse for the things that have happened, but perhaps it's an explanation. You know, but the Grizzlies just drafted Cameron Boozer with the third overall pick. Cameron Boozer has been a well-known basketball player since he's been dribbling a basketball, in part because his dad was a, you know, multi-time all-star, in part because he's just been awesome his entire life. Everything that Cameron Boozer has done on a basketball court, he was supposed to do. Go to a place like Duke, be a national high school player of the year, be a top five pick. All of this stuff is stuff Cameron Boozer has been prepared for a while. John Morant was never supposed to have the life that he's having. He was never recruited out of high school by any notable program, ended up at Murray State, and in his freshman year, he was the third leading scorer on an OVC team. If you go to KenPom.com, which is a pretty reputable and well-referenced college basketball website, and go to John Morant's freshman season at Murray State, he's actually listed, I believe, as Demetrius. He wasn't even John Morant until really his sophomore year at Murray State, and then he blew up. And so in a span of like a couple of years, he went from no-name Demetrius Morant, at the third leading scorer at an OVC school, to the rookie of the year, a face of a franchise with a Nike deal, signature shoe, and lots of money thrown on top of him. This is a tight-knit family from small-town South Carolina. Simply put, I don't think any of them were equipped to deal with the things that they were asked to deal with. any more than me and my family would have been at the exact same age.
Right.
So there's been some missteps. I think they could all acknowledge that. The question is whether they've learned from those missteps. And I use the word they intentionally. Like, I think it's a family thing. Like, the people around John Morant need to look and try to understand better how they ended up in this situation and then figure out the best way to dig out of it. I hope that they have, but to circle back to the initial question, have there been signs of that? No, I don't think there's really been any signs of that. I even said in recent weeks, I wish just one time I could have heard John Morant, you know, just say something along the lines of, I really did mess this thing up. My best friends got traded out of here because I couldn't stay available and I couldn't keep it between the lines. And that sort of awareness and, you know, resolution and apology, if that's even necessary. I hope that there've been real changes behind the scenes, but if they've happened, they've mostly been behind the scenes. They haven't been visible to the public.
Yeah, but we're against it, Gary, but I'm just curious to ask you. I know that the Taylor Jenkins stuff, I'm just curious to find more out about. There was comments that obviously didn't end well. He was considered a young and upcoming coach. Now he's a head coach in Milwaukee. We're going through an offseason where we have a first-time head coach in Mike Anori. He's certainly been around the NBA a long time, but obviously different when you move over those 18 inches and now you're the head guy in charge of just how those vibes might work out and what was the backstory between John Morant and Taylor Jenkins, and is there concern there that there's a problem with coach and player maybe lingering on his new stop?
Oh, sure. I mean, like, you know, he didn't get along with Taylor Jenkins at the end. I don't know that the franchise will ever say this directly, but if you're wondering why a really successful head coach in Taylor Jenkins was fired at the end of a season, in part, it was at least in part because he and John Morant were not seeing eye to eye anymore. So then they replace that coach with a heavy pick and roll coach. The idea being behind, let's get back to centerpiece John Morant, and John Tomas Isolo did not get along, you know, that well either. And so, you know, the thing you hear more than anything else is that, you know, he's not a bad guy or bad heart, but he can be a little moody. And I say that as somebody myself who can be a little moody. But I also know when I am moody on a day-to-day basis, that can be very difficult for my wife, for my children, for coworkers. And you've got to try to figure that stuff out. And so I think that would be the biggest challenge for the Portland coaching staff, based on the things that I've heard from various coaching staffs in Memphis over the years. Like, what are you getting on a day-to-day basis? Because the best version of John Morant is like a version everybody gravitates to and everybody loves and everybody wants to run behind. But you might get that on a Wednesday, and on Thursday, it's just not there for reasons that aren't clear to everybody else. And, you know, those are things that I think a lot of people deal with. I've heard similar stories about a young Kyrie Irving where he was one person one day and that not quite the same person the next. And so these are all things that he's got to work through. And you know, speaking on behalf of Grizzlies fans, I hope that he does.
Yeah, Gary, thank you for the time. I just have one more for you because I know you got to go and we're up against it too. One basketball question for you. It may seem like an odd fit, I think, when you look at the Portland roster right now as it sits. We are trying to convince ourselves they're going to make another move because they still have assets, but we don't know. They may also just run four guards and see what it's like with Dame, Ja, Drew, and Scoot. Just your thoughts on the fit of a Ja Morant, a Denny Avdia, a Dame Lillard on the same team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you guys know that roster better than I, but based on my limited awareness of Portland, I mean, Denny needs the ball in his hand. Dame has played with the ball in his hands. Ja plays with the ball in his hand. Unless they've changed basketball, there's only one ball on the court at all times. And so smarter people than me are going to have to figure that out. I've read all the analysis of the breakdown and questions about how this fits with Portland's roster. I think it's important sometimes to remember a front office often, you hope at least, is thinking three moves ahead. So last week, I'll just end with this. The Grizzlies did some stuff in the first round of the draft that on the surface did not make sense to me as a Grizzlies fan and technically employee. And I said that the next morning. And the next night, they went and did a deal for Isaiah Stewart that if you trace it back to the night before, it was clear they were just setting up that thing. So if I were talking to Blazers fans right now, I would say before you react strongly in any direction, like, let's see where this thing goes. Free agency starts later on today, because there are some people smarter than I talking about the NBA, writing about the NBA, who thinks that Portland seems to be setting themselves up for something else to come.
Yeah, good stuff. Gary Parrish, our great friend in Memphis, does an exceptional job, a longtime legend over there on CBS and Grind City Media. Gary Parrish Show on Twitter at Gary Parrish CBS. Thank you so much for the time, Gary. Always appreciate catching up with you and the latest on Ja Morant.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. There we go. Great stuff. Gary Parrish, one of our favorites over in Memphis. What do we make of what he said about Ja Morant, the off-the-court stuff, the fit? We'll dive back into it with some follow-up thoughts from Gary Parrish next on 105.1 The Fan. All right, good stuff there from Gary Parrish. It was more about Ja than it was Ja the basketball player. But because there's unknowns on the hoop stuff, like we know what the hoop stuff is. He's not healthy. He can't shoot the ball. He attacks the rim. We don't know if his athleticism is still high-end elite and high-usage guy.
What about the positives? Now, give me the positives.
When he dunks on some innocent white guy in the NBA on a random November night.
Dude, the kids are going to dig it.
It'll be number one on the SportsCenter top 10. It'll be number one on the TikToks, and everybody's going to buy, like, the bright lime green Ja Morant shoe. Like,
yes.
He is my nephew's favorite player in the league.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I think you made the analogy during the break. He's very LaMelo-like in that regard. Kids love him. Highlight, you know, a walking highlight if you're watching basketball on TikTok, Ja Morant is super entertaining. I've seen, you know, to his credit, P1 Bob, I thought, brought up a great point earlier, or maybe it was on social media last night, I can't remember, but he made the analogy of, dude, Memphis kind of owes us one in one regard. Now, we didn't directly trade him to Memphis, but Z-Bo had this. Z-Bo was in Portland and was a constant walking problem.
Yeah, we had somebody say that to us last night. They tweeted us and said, this is the reverse Z-Bo.
It's the reverse Z-Bo. Like, dude, we got to get rid of this guy. He's the worst, or not the worst, but one of the worst jailblazers we have.
Yeah.
Get him out of here. And what did he do in Memphis?
Yeah.
He grew up.
He thrived.
And he thrived. Yeah. And became a great member of their community and a stand-up citizen. And, like, everything turned around in his career. And so I think he went to New York and somewhere else in between there. But
yeah, but Memphis is, he
Memphis
has,
Memphis
like,
is what he's most known for.
Yeah.
And that is, was fun. Well, we took on, you took on our bad guy, we'll take on your bad guy.
We have a lot to get to today. I don't know where we're going to go at the 8 a.m. hour. It's kind of one of those shows that we're just kind of letting the story take us where we're going to go. And we'll get to other stuff eventually. We have a mail sack to get to today.
Yeah.
John Isaacs is of the Portland Metro Chamber. He's going to join us at 8:45 with his latest thoughts on the funding stuff. I wanted to do a follow-up on where all that kind of sits today.
They put on the event for Tom Dundon last Wednesday, and so a lot of questions there. Where are we at? Where are we going?
Just kind of your immediate takeaway of more the Ja off the court thing. I mean, it's to dismiss it, it would be a fool's errand. Like, mm-hmm. You got to address that part. It's certainly going to be most of the press conferences.
Yeah.
Roster building and health and his off-the-court stuff in his past.
Yes.
I'd be lying to you if I told you everyone was happy today, but it's not. They're sad. That's the reaction out of Memphis. Gary Parrish also asked, or also added, I should say, if there was any or reasonable signs of change, I don't think yesterday happens at all. I hope there's been changes behind the scenes, but if there was, they weren't public. So he has no indication as somebody that's in Memphis day-to-day that Ja Morant has changed or is going to change. Could be a wild card, but it still seems like we have a lot of questions coming in about Ja Morant, his dad, T. Morant. There is a Lake Oswego white woman that is going to get a great seat to a game, sit down, and see T. Morant with a cocktail standing up saying outlandish things to other players, and she's going to have no idea who that guy is,
Whoa. But
she's going to learn very quickly. That's Ja Morant's dad.
That's T-Morant.
T-Morant.
He's moving. They're a tandem package. You get Ja, you get T. It's part of the deal.
Welcome to the AA row.
Such a good point. I hadn't even really thought about the T-Morant court
side. There's going to be a Lake Oswego white woman that has no idea who T-Morant is, and it's going to blow her mind.
Got my valet parking with my Audi, and now I'm sitting next to T-Morant. How did I get here?
Honey, did you hear what this man said to this other gentleman?
That was incredibly offensive.
Can you say that word in public?
The off-the-court stuff is very interesting. I would say, like, we have to be concerned about it. I'm going to choose in this case to be optimistic. I don't know about the basketball fit. I don't know about him, like, off the ball and the number of guards. Like, all of that stuff to me is a big concern. I tend to just look at this, and I don't know how in his situation He's closer to Nike now. He had the Nike signature shoe, which was a big deal at the time.
I ask you, why does that matter?
I don't know. I'm just simply arguing.
Why does being closer to Nike make any difference?
Because
it's not going to be.
There's a lot of money involved. I don't know. He wants to keep the relationship happy.
He got a signature shoe and then got into the trouble. There was already a lot of money involved.
I would hope at this point in your career that you have realized this is it.
That's it.
If it doesn't work out in the next 2 years and a team just had to pay $1 million to trade you away and took on nothing in return. That's how low your value is.
Yep.
If you come out and get in trouble off the floor and do stupid stuff away from the game over the next 2 years,
it's your career lifeline.
You're done. You're out of the NBA. You're not getting another deal. The team's not taking a shot on you. Nobody wanted to take a shot on you in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I am hopeful for that reasoning, that there is a understanding of I need to be on the straight and narrow. The other part of it that I'm just not ultimately that concerned about, and save this for when it ages terribly, like, it's not like he's got 5 years left on a deal making $50 million every year. It's a 2-year deal. So year one doesn't go bad, or it doesn't go good, I should say, and there's some issues, or he doesn't buy in, or he doesn't get along with a coach.
It's an expiring.
You got a $44 million expiring contract next year. This is not a 7-year contract that you got to live out like, oh my God, how are we going to get out of this? That's simply not the case. This is his last lifeline. And if he's got anything in between his ears, I would hope him and his family would acknowledge that this is it. Let's capitalize on it, and maybe there's a payday and a redemption story for you in your NBA career.
A lot to get to in the third hour of the show. We got a Millsack Tuesday in the final hour. 503-864-6326 is where you can send your Millsack questions. John Isaac's going to join us at 845, hour number 3, ahead on 105.1, The Fan.